Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at Eastern Mennonite University. Welcome you to this week's podcast. Just before we take the break for a week or so and close the offices down, I'm joined today by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer, and we've got a couple of things to cover in terms of the activity of the basketball teams that has occurred just in the recent past. But then we're going to go into covering a little broader topics of activities that were going on at the Board of Directors meeting at the ODAC, talk just a little bit about the NCAA, get James's opinion on some of the potential changes coming down the road and some of the things that we've spent a lot of time discussing as a broader picture to athletics. But let's start, first of all, the men involved in the Don Dlick Classic this past weekend. And also the day that we are taping this podcast is the day that the women will take off for the final game before the semester break. They did play last week as well in the midst of a snowstorm. So why don't you just update us on the activities of last weekend as we go into the semester break.
Yeah, the men with a couple of really exciting games at the Don Dlick Classic down in Bridgewater. You know, we came out with a split at 1-1, but I think what the men showed was that they can be a pretty good team. And Coach Kirby Dean seemed to have the same thoughts about that afterwards when I talked with him. But very interesting. It seemed like both of the games they played Virginia Intermont, NAI school from in-state here, on Friday. And then on Saturday, they played North Central, which is a school out of Illinois that we don't know a ton about. Other than that, they're good at a lot of the sports they do. And they certainly are at basketball. They went to the Final Four last year, did lose a few pieces, including a third-team All-American, but they returned to their first-team All-American, and a very good team. We lost to them, but I think Coach would tell you if we do a couple things different, that could have been a win for us, as we gave up 19 offensive rebounds and then lost at a three-pointer at the buzzer that I thought was going in. I was straight behind James Williams when he launched that thing, and it skimmed off two parts of the rim before coming out. Very exciting game, but the interesting part is that EMU looked like a second half team in both of those games, for better or for worse. They played much better in both second halves of both contests. Virginia Intermont, it was a close game at halftime, and we came out with a huge win, just about 30 points that was the final margin, and very good second half there. And it was very similar against North Central. They did a lot of things better, played defense better in the second half. So it'd be very interesting, a successful first half to the season, 5-4, you know, partly you could look at it and say, yeah, they're just hanging around 500. But if you look at what we lost from last year, how many, you could say where we returned one or two starters. It's kind of throw up in the air. James Williams started like four games at the end of last season. He would be the second starter. He actually started this year with a sprained ankle. So essentially we came back with one starter, a couple of transfers who really hadn't played in our system were, you know, put into big roles. So there was a lot of moving pieces, and I think our men have shown in the first nine games of the year that they have the chance to be a really good team, still putting the pieces together, but certainly a lot of fun to watch. And that was definitely evident at the Don Dlick Classic. On the women's side, played a solid team in Mount Aloysius. I think I know how to say it finally.
You got it.
Yes. All right. And that one was just interesting on a lot of different levels. It was supposed to be an afternoon game. It got moved to earlier in the day because of impending snow in central Pennsylvania, which it turned into an overnight trip. So a lot of different dynamics, but they had a couple of big runs and came out with either a 14 or 16 point victory. But a solid first half again for the women of the season. Again, they'll play one more game after we record this, but probably before you listen to it. But they play at Washington College Tuesday nights, and then they're done until the second half. And they've been very successful so far this year. Just the two losses as of us recording this, of course, and all that's been done for the most part without Steph Reinheimer, one of the starters who's been an all-ODAC player in the past. So a very successful first half of the season for the basketball women as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. One of the things that I observed from the men's games down there at the Bridgewater Don Dlick Classic was they played two different style games.
Oh, yeah.
Both times. Friday night against Intermont, as you mentioned, it was close, and then they just blew the doors off, almost all of them layups. They got the running game going, mm-hmm. played solid defense, and then they turn right around and play a game that's in the 60s that this team, North Central, was going to run – I think they must have scored at least four or five buckets at the buzzer of the 30-second clock. Mm-hmm. So they were very much of a slowdown team, and it was good to see that the guys could play both ways and seemingly do well in both of them. And so those experiences always are ones they add to. Gym floor is being refinished, so the men are still practicing this week. We've arranged to get some space over at James Madison University. The women practice there as well. But we do have the gym floor being resurfaced and put the final coat of wax down today. So 7 to 10 days, we should be able to be back on it when they come back again. So it is a good way to wrap up the season, wrap up the semester. First half of the season, it's not really the first half, but it's at least the first part of it anyway. And hopefully maybe even a week after New Year's, we'll be able to get both Kevin and Kirby in here to talk a little bit about their seasons as they enter into more full-fledged into the conference play. Would just point out January 3, men are back in action at home. Mm-hmm. Students are not around, so we need everybody else to come on out and make it a positive environment.
That's for a Friday night game.
It's a Friday night game, so if you have the time, please, and in the area, or if you're making a trip in here to the Harrisonburg area to visit family, et cetera, extend it on through and come on out to the game. Should be a good matchup and good way to get back into the season again. Well, I wanted to spend just a little bit of time talking about the ODAC Board of Directors meeting. It was held the first part of the month in December, and there were two specific topics that we had our normal day and a half of pretty intense meetings, at least long meetings, sitting there. A lot of discussion, a lot of things to work at, but a couple of them that really came to mind, and I may have mentioned this just a little bit before, but we got into some pretty thorough discussion of the idea of how to maintain a better life-work balance. Work-life balance, I guess, is a key phrase that they're using, particularly for our coaches. So there's been a group working at the Division III level for the last 3 years at least, 2 years at least, and it's starting to come into shape a little bit more. And this particular group has identified 9 potential, and I say potential, this is nothing about legislation. Some people get this confused. This is a study working group that is trying to study the recruiting aspects of Division III and what ways in which we could go about reducing the amount of times needed to spend on the road. And so they've done a lot of focus groups. They've done a lot of work last year at the convention around tables. They've continued to do studies, gathering some research. And they've come up with 9 possibilities. And so as a board of directors, we sat around and went with each one. And I'm not going to take the time to do all of them today, but I would at least like to highlight them to try to figure out if there's some way. One of the interesting things that comes out of it, though, is the coach is trying to decide who they're really recruiting against. Are they recruiting against Division I? Are they recruiting against Division II? NAIA? Are they against ODAC schools and all Division IIIs? And the reason I ask that question is because as they start to talk about, if you know anything about Division I and II, there are recruiting calendars and there are dead times and quiet times and times that they can't be in response. And whenever we've talked about a recruiting calendar as such in Division III, most coaches, or at least many coaches, have been against it because they think that's the one opportunity they have to go against Division I and II. Whenever they're quiet and can't do anything, we can go out and do something. I personally find that a little hard to believe. I think the majority of our coaches are, yes, you'd love to get that Division I or II person, student-athlete, and there is all that aspect that they think they're Division I or II, but they really aren't. So you do want to stay in front of them. But it does come to mind that maybe that's not who we're really after. And the other aspect is all of these showcases and tournaments and club things that are going on, these coaches feel obligated to go to them. And so who's going to pull the plug? If we develop a quiet time, will that have them shut down some of those AAU things? The answer is no. They'll shift them around. But anyway, there were a couple that I thought are interesting, and we started to discuss them. One was, would we develop some? And again, these are all just ideas of focused areas, not any legislation we'd vote on yet. That probably would come by 2015. One of them is to have a letter of commitment, just like you do at Division I and II. Sign a letter of intent. Of course, the reality is what what do you have to hold over them? If you're offering a scholarship, you have something to hold to them. But we also find that there are more and more students who are making commitments prior to. I found out that a school in Virginia, not in the ODAC, but another university, Division III university, according to their soccer coach, has 12 commits for next year already before the financial aid packages are really out. Wow. And they have 4 commits for the following year out of their junior class. Now, again, I don't know what they mean by that, but that's one that we've talked about. But the reality is, and then the other question is, if right now, if someone signs a letter of intent to Division I, II, or NAIA, the coaches in Division III back off and don't recruit them. So the question comes, if our coach knows that someone has signed a, quote, letter of intent to Bridgewater, are they going to stop recruiting them? Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing to hold
them.
Hold them
to it in Division III, right?
So that would be one that would be there. The second one, which is very interesting, is currently Division III coaches cannot talk to anybody, any student athletes or their parents until after they're finished their junior year, which I find interesting because there's people that have already made commitments in that junior year.
Yeah, you just mentioned that.
And if you read the national statistics, more students are choosing, not just athletics, but choosing colleges in sophomore year, or at least starting to head that direction. So I'm very much in favor of getting the word out. I've said it all along. Now, we can send text, we can send email, we can send mail. What we can't do is talk to them. And yet, you'll also find that many players choose a college partially because of the coach and the program. So why wouldn't you want to get your face out? I mean, all advertising tells you the sooner and the earlier you get it out in front of them, right? Pepsi, McDonald's, whatever it is.
Saturate the market.
Saturate the market, get them out there to allow them. Interestingly enough, a lot of the coaches around that table, not that most of us were ADs, but there were coaches there, were against it. From the standpoint that they have enough trouble going to these showcases where there's 700 kids that are playing, they have enough trouble just seeing the seniors, let alone having all of these sophomores and freshmen writing to the coach saying, hey, I'm going to be playing down in Richmond, could you come see me play? Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, they're not really in favor of it. And yet, I think the sooner you get Eastern Mena University's name and the coach's name in front, you don't have as much of the issue going on at Division III that you do Division I, head coach is going to be fired for not winning, da 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 da.
Right.
So there's, I don't know. I just would like to get the word out about Eastern Mountain University sooner rather than later. But this is somehow saying, so we'll see where that one goes. The third one was to take away in-home visits. Again, trying to take away the need for coaches to be on the road all the time. And again, most of the coaches, a lot of coaches don't use this, but those who do say it is one of the key elements to getting them convinced. And if nothing else, to show them that it's a high-quality program, because they read about the Joe Paternos of the world and the Mike Krzyzewskis visiting the home and the Nick Sabans and all of that. And so if Division III actually takes the time for a home visit, it's a pretty good selling point. I would also say that one of the things that we really want to do is to make sure that our student athletes are a fit for the university and for the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can tell that better when you get into a home and not just talking to them after a match or after a game in something like that. They have talked about sports-specific recruiting calendars. And it's interesting that Division II, I talked to a number of Division II people at the last NCAA convention, and they went to a recruiting calendar 2 years ago, and everyone that I've talked to just loves it. Now, it's not much. It's a 4-day weekend in the fall, and it's a 4-day weekend in the spring where nobody's allowed to do anything. That's it. But at least you know, everybody knows that they have that time where they can't go out and do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just really hard for me to believe that 4 days of not contacting somebody is actually going to make you lose a recruit. Right. And if you want to, that would at least eliminate having the AAU and the JO tournaments on those weekends. Now they might pile them into another one. Yeah. And then there's a disadvantage if you don't have 4 assistant coaches.
Yeah. Well, that one seems to make sense. I mean, if you're, it gives everyone a built-in vacation, for lack of a better term, or I think I've heard one or two of our coaches say, hey, it's a built-in time where I know I can spend time with my family without feeling guilty about losing some athletes somewhere.
Yeah, I really hope this one goes through.
Yeah, I would too.
Because I think it's as long as everybody's doing it, we're all in the same boat. And again, yeah. I don't really think that it's going to impact, because I just don't think we're recruiting that much, that many times against Division One and Two. There's always a kid or two that you're trying to find, but you just stay in contact with him, just like the article in the paper today about Marcel Crump. A men's basketball team went to Virginia Union. Kirby recruited him very hard. He decided to stay close to home because of the illness that his mother had. So you always keep one or two of those in your back pocket, but you also recognize that they're probably going
at the bottom of the day, if Division One or Division Two decides to drop a chunk of money on them,
right?
They're probably going to go,
and that happened for sure. So I'm not sure that we're really recruiting against one and two. I think we're doing it more against the Division Threes, and if we're all shut down at one point, it'd be great. Fifth one was to permit on-campus evaluations, tryouts, if you will. This has been a long-standing tradition of Division III. You don't allow the tryouts because it's not supposed to be based upon athletic ability in terms of choosing a college and all of that kind of thing. I just think to get into the time, I think it's really going to benefit a baseball because baseball and certain sports that you can – baseball, softball will be one. Track and field, you really don't need that kind of thing. But I've always said that if you're going to spend $30,000 or $40,000 to go to college, you really ought to know whether or not and basketball, soccer, field hockey is important to you. Mm-hmm. You really ought to know the whole fit of the institution. Oh, yeah. You ought to know whether or not you really fit into the whole playing time. Now, I realize it's supposed to be otherwise. You're supposed to choose the college first and the academic program first and then say, oh, by the way, I think I'll play softball. That's just not reality anymore. When you've got coaches out there begging kids to come to their university and trying to convince them that it's the best program for them and all of that, it's just a totally different world from what we had before. The two other ones that I don't think we're going to go very far was expanded use of social media. Right now you can text, you can do all of that. You can't use the Facebook in terms of personalized and individual piece. And this, without a doubt, the coaches all across the board were saying, no, we don't want anything like this because we just don't want the exposure and the liability of a 55-year-old male friending a 17-year-old female basketball player. And that's just opens up a can of worms that I don't think anybody wants to go down that road. And one that is always you put in is how to educate potential student athletes about Division III, and we're going to push that one a lot more. And that's the other reason why I would like to see us be able to talk to kids on their campus, in their home, before they get to their senior year, because you can educate them on the whole process. I will admit publicly that I tell all of our coaches, if you see someone that's a sophomore or junior and you want to talk to them, I'm going to permit you to make one conversation with them to say, here I am, here's who I am, here's the school I represent. We'd love for you to stay in contact with you from this point on until you graduate, until you finish your junior year. I can't talk to you in person, so if I come to see you play, please don't come to talk to me, and set the parameters right from the start. So I think we ought to do that earlier, because we are getting some comments coming back, well, you sort of ignored me and you weren't really paying attention to me and somebody else was. One of the challenges across the board is with the way that Division III athletics has grown and the pressure that everyone is under to have the best teams, to be successful, this whole recruiting piece, and I've said it before, probably 70 to 80% of a college coach's work right now is recruiting in some institution, depending upon who it is. When you've got an enrollment-driven institution that's trying to raise to another level, because no one wants to, even parents and players don't want mediocrity. So you're always trying to push ahead. You're always trying to get one up on the next guy. So you're always trying to get the best athlete. And how do you get the best athlete? And they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And I believe firmly that the NCAA Division III has to step in and make some kinds of parameters And right now, the pushback is going to come from those who are saying, no, I can't afford to get behind. I can't afford to get behind. If everybody comes in and says, no, this is the way it's going to be, I think we got to head that direction. So I'll be in San Diego for the NCAA convention in mid-January. This will be a hot topic of discussion. We're going to go around with a lot of tables to see how it's going to come about. I'll have a better idea of where we might go with that. But it's an area that we really have to pay close attention to. You. The other one that I'll bring up when I get back from there is the Old Dominion Athletic Conference actually is considering sponsoring legislation, not this year, but in the future, to reduce the maximum number of contests for every sport. Again, a way to try to control finances and a way to try to give some amount of control to the amount of time that has to be given to the sports. Not trying to make it to lessen the experience, but the target is always baseball, softball, with 40 games in the spring semester. And anybody in the North can't even think about that, and yet we always put them in. So the missed class time is phenomenal for baseball, softball. Mm-hmm. That's the target. But as finances become tighter and tighter across the board, we said, hey, let's see how many other people are out there. So we're going to be spending time in January at the NCAA convention finding out how other conferences feel about it. Mm-hmm. Is this a way that we could reduce, could bring some sense of control and some sense of some type of management of games that would both hit the finances as well as the other. So I'll bring more information about that. It's got some interesting, by the way, in case someone's listening and really cares about it, football's not included in that in that proposal. Everyone else gets a 10% reduction. But again, the target...
It's simply because of the amount they already do or don't play. It's not because we like football more
or less. No. It's already where they're at this point. It also is an economic piece because they rely upon that for their income. Sure. No one else charges, and so it really isn't a big deal with that. I think cross country was also one that was exempted, and maybe something like rugby, I'm not sure, something along that line. So we'll bring that one up. Well, thanks for paying attention this afternoon, and we look forward to talking with you after the Christmas break. I wanted to give you just a little bit of updates of some of the things we're working on from a Division III level and an ODAC level as well. We will be back on after the probably that first week of January. We're back in the offices on January 2nd. Teams are all back on the 26th or 27th. So there'll be an activity around here, and we'll probably post something up again on January 3rd. Until that time, I certainly hope that you and your family and friends have wonderful holiday seasons, that you continue to enjoy the life that you can experience because of the birth of Christ, and continue to remember us in your prayers, remember our students as they've traveled and gone home for the semester break, and continue to remember each of us as we try to impact the lives of young people through their athletic experiences, have them grow up in all kinds of ways, one of those being spiritual, and this gives us an opportunity right around the Christmas season to again focus on that. So from James and myself, we want to wish you certainly the warmest of holidays, great times of fellowship and gathering, food, not too much, but enjoy that time, and wish you wonderful holidays, and we will talk with you back again in the new year, 2014. Thanks very much for listening, and until then, make it a great week.